from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
The Trump administration trusts science. Another Christian is freed by an Islamic court, and evangelicals meet with dignitaries in the Middle East. That's all coming up on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. This week on Washington Watch Live, producer Russ Jones had the privilege of sitting in for FRC President Tony Perkins on his live show. And on Tuesday, Russ caught up with Tony while he was with a delegation of evangelicals in the United Arab Emirates.
Tony, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be with you, Russ, as we're coming to you from the Middle East over here by the Persian Gulf. And it's been a pretty exciting trip. This is one of those things that actually we've seen increasingly happen in the last 2 years as Donald Trump has been promoting religious freedom, has a very close relationship with evangelicals. Some of the world leaders want to understand better what evangelicals are wanting to do. They're becoming more attuned to the issue of religious freedom. And so here at the UAE and the United Arab Emirates, it's been a really interesting trip as we've met with the Crown Prince and really all the top leadership here. And we've met with Protestant and evangelical pastors here. They have a very vibrant church population here because the Christian community, mostly people who have immigrated in, are just, they're not citizens, they're just residents. Many of them coming to work, having built this country, or helped build the country. It's a pretty interesting place. It's been a very insightful trip.
Any stories jump out to you or any people that you've met that you were particularly encouraged by?
Well, yes, there's been several things, but one in particular has been the role of missionaries here and why the UAE is so receptive to the freedom of religious worship. Now, this is an Islamic country. It is the official religion of the country. But unlike most Islamic countries, freedom of worship is a principle here. And it was interesting, the Crown Prince, it was his father who was the first president. It's a federation of seven countries, territories that came together. This area was forever pretty much tribal lands. Well, these families, they came together and they have the seven states, so to speak, that have made this federation. But at the beginning, as I understand the story, because we heard it from several different ones, the current Crown Prince, his father, who was the first president, his mother had lost two children. Mm-hmm. And it was missionaries from the United States that established a clinic and apparently helped his family from a medical standpoint. And that launched a long-term relationship where they ended up welcoming the missionaries to not only establish a hospital, but even a church that exists here today and has been expanded. So It was through that mission work that there was an acceptance of Christianity and its humanitarian aspect, and as a result, a respect for the Christian people. So it's been, as I said, it's been a very enlightening. Obviously, religious freedom has a different meaning here in the Middle East than it does in the United States, but I think there's a model here that's emerging that has a greater respect for religious minorities in this region. And they're doing a tremendous job, Russ, of fighting extremism, the radical Islamist. And there are several joint projects that they're working on with the United States. But this small country is having a large impact in this region of the world.
I understand you received a few briefings on the efforts to fight extremism in that region, so that's insightful, and maybe you'll have an opportunity to bring back some of those reports with the administration.
Yeah, it is. There's some joint projects. We had a briefing from the embassy here, but we had mostly our time was spent with the leadership of the UAE. They're the only country that has a minister of tolerance. Met with him I guess I'm a little track of time. It's 1 o'clock in the morning here, but we met with him earlier today. Very good meeting, and just I tell you, such hospitable people, and very kind people, and we've enjoyed the time with him, the relationships that that we've established. And Russ, I think this is important for those that want to have conversations and dialogue and discussions over important issues of religious freedom, making sure that the people here have that freedom. Those are important conversations to have. And it begins with that. Obviously, it's a journey in helping understand the fullness of that meaning. But this is not the West. That's one of the reasons there's a big disconnect often between the East and the West. They see things differently. And I think having those meetings, discussing these issues, and quite frankly, Russ, I think that the threat of radical Islam, a radical Islamist, has given us a chance to have these conversations, because they don't want to live in the fear of that. They don't want that either. And so I think there's, as I said, there's some joint efforts going on between the United States and the UAE to combat this extremist thinking, a lot of it online. So some pretty pretty innovative initiatives and projects that they're working on.
Yeah, it's one of the more different Arab countries over there, very high tech, and you've got to
very
see
developed.
That. And no rest for the weary, my friend. You come back hitting the ground Sunday. You've got a simulcast coming up. Just wanted to let folks know about that at 6 o'clock Eastern time. So you'll be gearing up for that, and folks will be able to tune in and hear you along with Mike Huckabee and Kristen Hawkins and E.W. Jackson. Is that right?
Yeah, and I want to encourage people to be a part of that this coming Sunday. The event, you go to the event2018.com to find out more. Go to tonyperkins.com. But look, Russ, this is let me tie it back to what I said at the beginning, and then I'm going to let you move on, and I got to get packed because I'm getting ready to hit the road. But this election is critical, as it is every election. But we've seen some developments, both, I mean, I shouldn't say just developments, major developments in our domestic policy and our foreign policy. I can assure you that if Hillary Clinton were president of the United States, evangelicals would not be traveling the world having meetings with leaders like the president of Egypt, the king of Jordan, the crown prince of the UAE, and other places that we've been. If Hillary Clinton were president, because there just wouldn't be an interest. This is opening doors to have conversations about religious freedom, about the persecution of religious minorities, and it's important that we understand and connect all of these dots. And so I want to encourage people to make sure you're informed, you're engaged, and you're voting. And that's a part of what Sunday night will be at the event, is pulling all of this together. So invite your friends to participate. If your church is not involved, try to get them involved. They can carry it'll be live, simulcasted. If not, sign up and have a home group to watch this and be a part of it. A very important election. We all have to do our part to continue to advance these conservative principles that are literally reaching the world.
Absolutely. Well, safe travels. Hey, bring me back a shawarma, would you?
Well, I'll see if I can stuff it in my bag.
Okay, all right. Safe travels, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you get back, and thanks for that great update.
All right, Russ, thanks for filling in for me.
You can find out more about the global efforts for religious freedom when you visit tonyperkins.com. While you're there, why don't you consider donating to the work of Family Research Council by simply clicking on the donate button. That website once more is tonyperkins.com.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at theevent2018.com. Again, visit theevent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. On Wednesday of this week, another Christian was released from prison in the Middle East because the case against her was so flimsy. Asiya Bibi, a mother of five in Pakistan, was acquitted by Pakistan's Supreme Court of blasphemy, and radical Muslims in Pakistan have launched widespread protests. Major persecution watchdog groups such as Open Doors USA have been campaigning for Bibi's release for years. Joining Washington Watch Live producer Russ Jones is the president of Open Doors USA, David Curry.
David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Russ, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, with all the political angst and incivility in the air, I was excited to report some good news. Give us some behind the scenes and bring us up to date.
Well, it is good news, and I think we have to celebrate that. It's good news on a couple of levels. First of all, when you get into the judgment that was laid down by the Pakistani Supreme Court, there's just a lot of good sense in there. The ruling essentially is a slap back to the vigilante justice that often happens in Pakistan through the blasphemy law. For people who don't know much about it, it gives any person the right to accuse someone without facts or any sort of corroboration as someone of blaspheming Muhammad, and therefore many times they don't even get a trial. They're beaten by a mob or the trial is a bit of a kangaroo court. But the ruling from the Supreme Court was solid. It was good law. It let people know that no one citizen is above the law and can take the law into their own hands. So all of that is good news. The challenge for us is that we know this blasphemy law is still in place in Pakistan, in Sudan, in Iran, in 68 other countries, and it's being used against Christians on a regular basis, particularly Christians, but it could be used against others as well, atheists or people of other faiths. Islamic extremists are still using this blasphemy law against people, and it's a little bit of a hard pill to swallow to know that this innocent mother spent 9 years on death row because of one person, in this case two people, accusing her of blasphemy law. But when you get into the judgment again, Russ, the stories never lined up. There was 20 or 30 people that were in the group, none of which validated the accusation of blasphemy. The only thing Asiya Bibi did was say that she was a Christian, a follower of Jesus, and for that, she spent 9 years on death row.
Yeah. And you know, I found it interesting. I read this in one of the stories, and I'd be curious to get your take on it. The judges heavily referenced the Quran, no surprise there, right, in the ruling, and adding it ended with a quote from the Hadith, which is a collection of sayings of the Prophet Muhammad, which calls for non-Muslims to be treated kindly. I found that very interesting.
I think the judge, who's certainly the judges, their life, as with the lawyers and others, is going to be in jeopardy now from these extremists. They were wise to use the language of Islam to try to explain this, I suppose. It was flawed from the beginning, the way this was played out, but I think justice is done in this case. But again, blasphemy laws, it should not go this far. They are poorly written. They are often just issues for extremist groups to use vigilante justice, as I said. Any one person can make an accusation. Oftentimes it's to stir up a mob, and there are tragic results.
And you know, as you said, I think some Muslims in Pakistan have used the nation's blasphemy law to target Christians and other religious minorities across the country. Do you think there was any, you know, these are neighboring countries somewhat, and recently with Andrew Brunson in Turkey, do you think they watch those cases and maybe take some of what happened there into consideration in this case?
Well, I think that there is a rumbling underground in the international community about the blasphemy laws because of our secular way of viewing it through our State Department policy over the last several years. It hasn't gained the steam I think it should, but people are beginning to look at it through this administration's encouragement of the State Department and others as a really negative force in the world, because there's never any justice that comes out of it. It's only used by extremists for their own agendas. But yes, I think Turkey should be looking around. I think India, which is using their radical Hindu agenda to pressure Christians and other religious minorities, Pakistan, Sudan, there are several of these countries that need to get the message. And the message is, if you expect to do business with the United States, you need to have religious freedom for your citizens.
David Curry, thank you so much. This is great news. We're out of time. Real quick, she's still in jail. Do you think she'll be? What's next? Real quick.
I think she's going to be freed and hopefully allowed to go somewhere safe, because her life is in jeopardy if she's in Pakistan.
All right. David Curry, Open Doors USA, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on, and thank you for your work.
Thank you, Rob.
To find out more about David Curry and the work of Open Doors USA, just head over to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links. Also, a quick reminder that your generous contributions to Family Research Council enable us to continue making these programs available, and you can donate when you visit TonyPerkins.com. We'll be right back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Tony Perkins here, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Our final segment today may not be appropriate for younger ears, so you may want to get them occupied elsewhere, but is an important development in the culture we live in. The New York Times reported last week that, quote, the Trump administration is considering narrowly defining gender as a biological immutable condition determined by genitalia at birth. Family Research Council's senior fellow for policy studies, Peter Sprigg, joined Tony last week to talk about this move.
Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay, let me just set the stage here, and then we'll jump right into it. 1964, Congress passed the Civil Rights Act, which
yes.
includes protections based on a series of classes, one of those being sex.
Correct.
Then in 1972, there was an educational bill that made sure that women were not being discriminated based upon sex.
Exactly.
And so the Obama administration decided to – they couldn't get Congress to go along with the idea that gender identity and all this other stuff needed to be a protected class. So they treated the definition of sex as if it were silly putty, and they stretched it to embrace their agenda. This administration is simply reverting back to the law and saying, no, sex as it was intended by Congress – deals with the biology of a person that's determined at birth. Am I correct?
That's exactly right. This is just a return to the natural definition of sex as it would have been understood by the members of Congress who enacted those laws, as you mentioned, in 1964 and 1972. So this is not some sort of – the New York Times at one point referred to this as an aggressive policy. It's a very conservative policy. It's the opposite of aggressive. It's the Obama policy redefining sex to include gender identity that was an aggressive policy.
Yeah. What we actually have is the Obama administration unilaterally made these decisions without Congress. They've even been, you know, even some courts, which we know generally are activists on these issues, said they went too far when the Obama administration was telling elementary schools that they had to open up the showers, the dressing rooms, and the bathrooms to whoever wanted them.
Well, yes, that's right. And, of course, the President Trump did reverse that policy early in his administration, which was something that we welcomed. The report here is that there's kind of a more comprehensive definition of sex that the administration is considering that would sort of apply to a number of different areas of the law and of regulations where this definition comes up. Now, the New York Times got it wrong right from the start in that quote that you said, because they used the terms gender and sex interchangeably.
Exactly.
When in fact the law is very specific
about
in using
sex.
The word sex,
right.
And what the Trump administration is doing is defining sex in biological terms, not gender.
But that is what the Obama administration did, is they rolled in gender and gender identity in the definition of sex. And that's how they tried to use the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to give special protections to people based upon their sexual identity or sexual behavior.
Well, that's right. Now, they claim – I will say this, that part of their claim is that in the employment context anyway, that there was a Supreme Court decision in 1989 where they said that sex stereotyping can be a form of sex discrimination. But even that we don't believe is – and the administration doesn't believe is enough to justify including transgender identities.
Good point, Peter Sprigg. This does not deny anyone constitutional rights or protections under our law.
Well, that's absolutely right. The rhetoric around this, both within the New York Times article and in some of the protests that took place yesterday outside the White House and so forth, was really extreme because they said you're trying to erase transgender people, wipe them out of existence, basically. Well, they will continue to exist. And in fact, they will be continue to be free to exercise their free speech rights to declare themselves to be of the opposite gender or opposite sex, however you want to define it.
We don't define words by mob rule. Essentially what we have here. They want to intimidate. I mean, next thing they'll be doing is coming into restaurants after scientists who believe in biology.
Well, one of the things I wanted to point out was that when you include gender identity as a protected category, it's not a neutral act. You are going to be punishing. What that means is you're going to actively punish by force of law people who disagree with that radical gender ideology.
The practical implications of this, though, is that it actually denies equal protection under the law for some. For instance, when we've seen this is not theoretical. This has actually happened. Battered women's shelters, homeless shelters where women may go to seek protection. Under this provision and how it was enforced under the Obama administration, what this administration is trying to do, is that women could be forced to be in the same facility, in the same large sleeping area with biological men.
That's exactly right. And this is why there's an interesting coalition that's formed in opposition to some of these transgender policies that includes radical feminists who say, you know, we've spent years trying to create safe spaces for women, and now you're telling us we have to admit men to them?
I want that picture, Peter Sprigg and the radical feminist at the next rally. I want to be able to tweet that out. Peter Sprigg, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks for what you do here at the Family Research Council.
Thank you, Tony.
And folks can read more about this. Have you posted some blog post on this?
Well, I haven't. I haven't yet. I'm working on writing something right now. Actually, going to point out how poorly written and edited this New York Times story was.
All right, stand by for that, folks. So we'll put it up on the TonyPerkins.com when it comes out.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.